Grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of Christ, our beloved Savior. Our text, the Gospel reading, Mark chapter 10, especially verse 17. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, the preacher says, I know that there is nothing better for men than to be happy and to do good while they live, that everyone may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all his toil. This is the gift of God. The rich young man in the text was also concerned about work when he said, what must I do? So let's begin by talking about work as the gift of God. Labor is a good and necessary thing for mankind. You see, God did not make people to be idle. We're told in Genesis, the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden to work it and take care of it. So even in a perfect world, the man had something to do. The man was not simply to lounge around on his hammock and let the world spin by. No, God gave him work to do. The preacher in Ecclesiastes says this work was as much a gift of God as was all of creation for him, as the right environmental conditions were a gift to that first man, as his spouse was a gift to the man. So his work was a gift. It gave the man a reason to get out of bed. It gave him purpose for his life, and it filled his days with joy, even though he wasn't working for money. The man needed to work to be fulfilled. If you can view your work from that perspective, then your work, whatever it is, becomes a gift. A number of years ago, I heard a story about a man who had made a lot of money in the early days of computer research. And as he grew older, he gave it all away, except the last bit to live on. He didn't leave any money to his children. He gave it all to a university in Georgia to fund a computer research program. When he was asked about it, he was asked if he didn't like his children. He said, having money is not fun. Making money, that's the fun part. So why would I deprive my children of having fun by giving them so much that they never had to work? The man understood the purpose of work. He saw it as a gift that he would give to his children. If one can work and he doesn't, St. Paul calls that stealing. You are living off the work of others, he says in Ephesians 4. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may leave something to that he may have something to share with those in need. So, God made us as working people. What Adam and Eve did, at least at the first, pleased God in every way. They were kept in paradise by virtue of the fact that they did the very things that were pleasing to God. Everything they did was righteous in God's sight. When they tended the garden, God was pleased. When they rested, God was pleased. When they ate, God was pleased. But then those first people did what was not right in the sight of God. They disobeyed, and by disobeying, they lost their place in paradise. Isn't that where things got complicated? When man lost his place in paradise, though, it didn't change how he was created, nor the way that he thought. He lost the perfect image of God, but he still saw himself as an active righteousness kind of person. That is, one who might still please God if he just worked hard enough or did the right thing. Even though he no longer had the ability to do everything that pleased God, he still believed it was possible if he just worked hard enough. As we see in the rich young man, he said he had done everything, but in reality, he wasn't too sure about it, was he? When he asked Jesus, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" he betrays his doubt. He asks because he's pretty sure that his deeds are not enough to get him back into the paradise of God. So it is that after the fall into sin, in the world in which we now live, work, and the gift of God is all mixed up in our minds. After the fall, men began to see work, well, not as a gift, but as a curse. Men wanted to be free of work, not understanding that it was the work that gave them purpose. Others focused only on work, and they forgot everything else. At the same time, men began to have too high of an opinion of their work. They began to think that, well, God could not get along without what I do. And God would be pleased with me if I just did the right thing. And then some began to make up deeds that they believed God would like, deeds that would make them, yes, self-righteous. So if one, like the rich man, talks about work and eternal life, that's always a complicated matter, one that the natural man will never get straight. I believe the preacher Solomon was not only a philosopher when he spoke about work as a gift, but he was also a prophet. When he talks about work as a gift of God, he's ultimately talking about God and God's work. In the fullness of time, God sends mankind one more gift, one that helps us to straighten out what's crooked in our hearts concerning work. That gift is Jesus. In Jesus, there is one who loves his work in the proper way. From the time of his anointing in the Spirit, at his baptism, his work fills his life, and he loves it. My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. And again, in John chapter 5, Jesus said, my Father is always at work to this very day, and I too am working. We see Jesus preaching the good news and calling people to repentance in one town after another. His days are filled with miraculous signs. He heals the sick, he casts out the demons, and he raises the dead. We're told that this work so consumes him that he doesn't even have time to eat or to sleep. When he tries to get away with his disciples, the crowds always find him, and we're told he has compassion on them. Even his last days are so filled with teaching that he literally teaches one day and dies the next. His trial has to happen at night. His days are too full. In all of this work, Jesus is doing the very thing the rich man is seeking, for our Lord is doing that which leads to eternal life. The rich man had doubts about what he was doing. Jesus has none. For Jesus, what he does is perfection. When he works, God is pleased. When he speaks, God is pleased. When he celebrates, God is pleased. When he dies, and this takes a little understanding, but even when he dies, God is pleased. When he rises, God is pleased. When God speaks of him, here's how he speaks. This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. Yes, in Jesus, God is once again well pleased with man, and all of his works are righteous. So what must the young man do to be doing the work of God? Our Lord had already said it. The work of God is this, to believe in the one that he has sent. God has done the work. What he must do to be doing the work of God is to believe in the one that God has sent. He had to let God apply the work of Christ to himself. Then he would follow Jesus all the way into the paradise of God. That same word, my friends, applies to you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. By faith in the Christ, one is given the righteous works that bring eternal life and bring you into the paradise of God. In Ephesians, St. Paul says, "It is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." Come, find in Christ the very work of God, the only work that pleases Him. Rejoice in His righteousness and celebrate His victory over death and the banishment from the paradise of God. For in Christ, all things are restored to you. So He is your confidence in the midst of doubt, your hope for today, and yes, for the last day too. In the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. And now that peace of God, that which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ our beloved Savior. Amen.
Hi, this is Pastor Ryan Wendt. You've just listened to a sermon preached at Christ the King Lutheran Church in Billings, Montana. I hope that you heard God's law that reveals your sin and His precious gospel, the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ, that your sins are forgiven for His sake. These sermons are posted not as a replacement for gathering together with other believers around Christ's word and sacraments, but for our members who are away at school, at work in foreign countries, or who for some other reason are not able to be with us regularly. If you've been listening and do not have a church home, please consider contacting us through our website, and I will be happy to help you find a faithful congregation and pastor near where you live. Or if you're listening to us locally, why don't we get together for a few minutes and talk more about what we believe? If you'd like to support the work the Lord is doing through His Word in this congregation and in our community, please get in touch with me through our website. The Lord's richest blessings to you this week and always in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.